We're thinking over these weeks and months about the characteristics of God. And we've thought about a powerful God and a purposeful God. We've thought about a faithful God. We've thought about an angry God. And today we think about a benevolent God. Each of these words adding to the cumulative picture we might conjure up in our minds concerning who God is. Benevolence, giving for giving's sake. That seems to be the best way of understanding what that word might mean. Giving for giving's sake. And this is how we are to regard God and God's dealings with us and the whole of creation. All there is, sustained only because has determined that it be so. Sustained according to God's pleasure, God's good pleasure, for the sake of God's glory. If it were not for God, we would not be. If it were not for God, there would be no creation at all. If it were not for God determining within God to fashion a creation, there would be nothing. But out of the nothing, God has brought everything into being. We're taking a funeral just a little while ago and was trying to think about how we might describe life. The life of the person who had died. He lived a long life, a full life, and a rich life. A life that had meant a lot to a lot of other people. And so I hit on the phrase, the gift that keeps on giving. Now, we use that phrase ironically, sometimes even sarcastically. You know, when a politician makes an error, and then they compound the error by trying to get out of the error they made in the first place, and it's an interviewer's delight. And we say, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Go on, make another mistake. Show yourself up some more. But you can actually take that phrase in all seriousness. When we think about the life that we live itself, a result of God's generosity in giving, the life we live is intended to be the gift that keeps on giving. Because the most sublime expression of the benevolent nature of God is the granting to us of the gift of life. The most sublime expression of the benevolent nature of God is the granting of the gift of life. Life is something which by definition can neither be demanded. No one can demand the right to live. It cannot be sought after. You cannot seek after an opportunity to be alive. It can't be requested. Please, God, can I be born tomorrow? No, it doesn't work like that. Yes, some of us would have liked to live in different times. You know, we read our history books and we think, gosh, it would have been much more fun in the Tudor period. I wouldn't have mind being a Roman soldier. I could have been born in Darfur or in Syria. The choice isn't ours to make. It's a gift. You can't demand it. You can't seek after it. You can't request it. It's a gift. And it comes to us as a gift from God. We are alive in the world solely as a result of God's good pleasure. But it is a gift that is designed for giving. The life we are given is a life for giving. Life is best lived in such a way that it gives of itself. Life is best lived if it is prepared to diminish itself in order that the lives of others might be enhanced. Believing that being prepared to diminish oneself for the sake of others is of itself a life-enhancing experience. That is the paradox that is at the heart of life. And because it's a paradox, it's so hard to grasp. If you're prepared to give away something of your life, someone else will benefit. And in the giving away of your life, you too will benefit. Being prepared to give something of ourselves away, and in so doing, realize all the more what this gift of life is. But because it's hard to grasp, many never really appreciate how life ought to be understood, because there are many in our world who would regard life as a possession, a commodity, a mere trifle, even an inconvenience. So many people in the world understand the lives of people in that way. It's a possession. It's my life. I own it. Belongs to me. Worse still, your life is my possession too, because I own you. I've paid for you. I've bought you. You are mine. It's a commodity. Buy and sell in the marketplace. Human trafficking, a scar upon the world. Life as a commodity. A mere trifle. Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? It comes, it goes. Even an inconvenience. And when life becomes an inconvenience, what do? Well, get rid of it. And so many people who are found to be inconvenient to others are summarily executed, be it by the state or by other individuals. If they're in the way, move them out of the way. An attitude to life that is bedeviling our society. The thought of life as a possession, a commodity, a mere trifle, even an inconvenience. And when people think of life that way, rather than give of themselves for the sake of others, they take from others for the sake of themselves. But if that is the case, we're bound to ask, why does God allow it? If God has gone to this all this trouble of gifting us with life, why is it that God allows this life to be treated in such a way by so many people? Why is it that God allows this gift to be treated in the way that it is? Well, because it's a gift. And as with any gift, it conveys with it the freedom for the recipient to do with it what they choose. Visit somebody in the first few weeks of the new year and discover what they did with your Christmas present. You thought it would be the most valuable thing you could give them. It would have pride of place on their mantelpiece. They would be wearing it every day for at least 6 months. And suddenly you discover when they're out making the tea that it slipped down the side of the sofa, that it's been hidden away. It's still in the wrapping. Worse still, we get disappointed, don't we, when that's the case, because we don't like to think that a gift that we've given to someone has been received in such a way. But it was a gift. Just cross them off the list for next year, but that's another matter. But that's what happens. A gift is a gift. So to be a gift, then liberty must be essential to its use. All who receive the gift of life from God are at liberty to make of that life what they choose. That's what God has determined. Anyone who enjoys the gift of life as a gift from God, coming with that gift is the liberty to do with it what you choose. God is not going to force you to live your life in a way that you do not choose to live. He gives you the gift and says it's yours. Now go live it. And we know the trouble that can cause. Every expression of humanity today is a seething mass of contradiction, overwhelmed by a seemingly inherent ability to choose to live life in a way that is best for each and all alike. And why? Because for so many, having ignored the fact that life is the gift that keeps on giving. Life, rather than being self-giving, it has become self-serving. Life, rather than being self-giving, has become self-serving. And this is because the attendant freedom that is necessary for life to be a gift has become an end in itself and not a means to an end. I want to be free to do what I like because I'm free. Freedom is the most precious thing I have. Freedom is nothing at all if you don't make best use of it. What's the point of having all the freedom in the world and not being able to exercise it in the way that one wishes? To be truly free demands we acknowledge the degree to which such freedom must be constrained. And so a benevolent God bequeaths to each of us life, liberty, and for scholars of American political history, the pursuit of happiness. Because in the American Constitution, written in 1776, we have these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The recipe for a good life, as hit upon by the founding fathers of the United States: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We need to be careful. Happiness in 1776 is not happiness as it is in 2018. Happiness in 2018 is some frothy emotional experience, the froth of life, that which makes us happy, puts a smile on our face. No, happiness in 1776 was more usually understood as a sense of fundamental well-being, being the best we can be. It is this which God desires as far as the gift of life is concerned, for each and every one of us. By the power which is unique to God, life is what it is, the pinnacle of a created order, shaped, fashioned, and molded out of nothing, the purpose for which being that we, each one, might glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Whatever we might make of this, God remains faithful to us, determined that ultimately what God desires for us shall be ours to experience. In the meanwhile, God gets angry when observing how the gift, intending to be that which keeps on giving, has been received. Yet a benevolent God cannot but be a God who keeps on giving. And in Jesus, we have that sublime example of a God who gives of himself, thereby confronting the world, the people of every time and place, with what we have become, challenging us to be the people we can be, daring us to denounce what we are, and encouraging us to be what we never imagined we might be. That was the agenda for Jesus when he came. That was God's intention. When Jesus comes into the world, that's why he comes. To confront, to challenge, to denounce, and to encourage. And if you read the gospel stories, each of those attitudes are present in a balanced way, confronting, challenging, denouncing, and encouraging. That's what Jesus came to do. And as he came to do it then, so he comes now. To confront us, to challenge us, to denounce us, and yet to encourage us. At the time, it wasn't an unqualified success. We like to think it was. 2,000 years on, we wear our rose-tinted spectacles and we cast our minds back to Palestine in the first century. But no, it wasn't an unqualified success. If the truth be known, Jesus made relatively little impact on the people of his day. Indeed, the vast majority of whom they wouldn't even have recognized him, even if he passed them in the street. The vast majority of people wouldn't even have recognized him when he passed them in the street. But there were some who did. They recognized him for who he really was, and who realized that if he were to break through, to somehow or another provoke a populist uprising, that then for them, all hell would break loose. And so they moved swiftly to shut him down. The few who realized who he really was recognized that if he was allowed to continue unchecked, all hell would break loose, at least as far as they were concerned. So shut him down they had to. And they had him crucified. Just another crucifixion. Two other people alongside. Tomorrow there would be some more, and the day after, because that's how it was. But rather than hell breaking loose as a consequence, God in Christ has ensured that hell has been broken open. So hell hasn't broken loose, hell has been broken open. You don't have to live in hell. You can be released from it because it's been broken open by God's work in Christ. If we have the faith to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then life in all its fullness, a more abundant life, eternal life, will embrace us. Life lived in perfect freedom, guaranteeing our well-being, will be secured for us regardless. So the ultimate challenge in our day is this: how do we live well in this world? Well, not in our own strength, that's for certain. Many have tried that. Many have tried to live well in their own strength and have failed spectacularly. But a benevolent God, the God who keeps on giving, is giving to us the Holy Spirit, in and through whom we will be empowered to live well, whatever else impacts upon us during our lifetime. Alongside whom is the church? Each individual congregation, a congregation like ours, itself a creation of the Holy Spirit, within which and among whose members we should be able to find that spirit of generous self-giving, the most obvious characteristic of a life lived for God, a life empowered by God, a life shaped according to the purpose of God and sustained by God's faithfulness. Indeed, a life filled by righteous anger, the antidote to indifference, the gift that keeps on giving. We do well to acknowledge the gift of life lived in freedom for the benefit of our well-being, for each and all, the gift of God for the people of God.